Well, good morning and welcome to First Presbyterian Church on this Mother's Day 2020. Just a few announcements before we begin worship today. You'll notice in your online order of service, these announcements are listed and they're also in the bulletin. The Board of Deacons will have their monthly meeting in the annex on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. And we will, of course, be observing proper social distancing during that meeting. Bible study this week will only be live streamed, and it will be on the church's Facebook page. This week we'll live stream on Wednesday at 7 p.m., so you can join us, and I'll send out a lesson plan early in the week so you can follow along. Gifts to the church may be sent either through our church website using a credit card or mailed to Post Office Box 517 in Port Gibson. Let us now be called to worship with these words. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Let's worship our God as we stand and sing his praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, on this Mother's Day, we give you thanks for the unconditional love so many mothers have shown to their children throughout the years. And we thank you that this kind of love gives us a glimpse into your heart as well. For you love all your people with a self-sacrificial, promise-keeping, forgiving love, a love that endures forever. And you have shown that love most clearly to us on the cross of Christ. So as we come to worship you today, help us to respond to that love as you deserve, loving you and trusting you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. For we come clinging only to the cross of Christ and offering the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." You may be seated. And if you would, take up your online order of service or your King James Bible, and we'll have our responsive reading this morning from Psalm 128. On this Mother's Day, we'll read this psalm responsively. It's a psalm that celebrates family life, and I hope it's appropriate for the occasion. Psalm 128, if you have your King James Version, you can read along or use the online order of service. I will read the odd-numbered verses, beginning with verse 1, and invite the congregation to respond with the even-numbered verses, ending with the end of the psalm. So let us read Psalm 128 responsively. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." Let's continue our celebration of Mother's Day as we turn in our hymnals to selection 531. You can also find the words in your online order of service, another celebration of home and family life that we celebrate this day. "Happy the home when God is there." We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 531. Let us stand to sing. We have sung of a great gift the Lord has given us, the gift of family. Let us now say what we believe about God using the words of the Apostles' Creed, and they're found inside your online order of service or in the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. And our minute for mission today is from Hands of Hope. And we have a couple of our Hands of Hope folks with us today. But I understand they're going to be taking another mission trip. So I want to give you all an update on who Hands of Hope is, what this mission trip is all about, and how you can help. Hands of Hope is a mission agency that operates in McDowell County, West Virginia. And we also have a local chapter in Claiborne County that works to help folks here and also travels to help folks in West Virginia. And the next trip is scheduled for May 30 through June 6. Now, I have been told there are no cases of COVID-19 reported in McDowell County up to this point, and only two cases in the adjoining county. Nevertheless, the team plans to limit their exposure to the inhabitants this year when they go to McDowell County. There will not be any haircuts, there will not be any home visits or nursing home visits. Instead, the team will be working on projects at the Hands of Hope Mission Center, and that opened back up just a week ago. So they will be working on finishing two apartments in the center. These apartments will be rented to provide income for the ministry. And this will involve a lot of work, putting down floors, working on bathrooms, that sort of thing. They will also be helping the ministry with bookkeeping and website development. Now, the ministry has a thrift store called the Hope Chest, and many of your donations go to the Hope Chest. They can then sell those things at very low cost to the needy in the area. So it provides income for the ministry and help for those who need reasonably priced goods. And so, unfortunately, the thrift store, because of the national shutdown, has been closed for over 6 weeks. So the outreach of the thrift store, as well as the income from it, has been drastically cut back. So the ministry is in great need. The team that goes soon will be assembling gift bags for ladies who attend a monthly Bible study at the ministry. The team will also be contributing to and assembling the contents of food packages and distributing them to the children who are out of school. So they've got a busy week coming up in West Virginia. Now, the team is still in need of funds for their food box ministry here in Claiborne County. So don't forget that. For this project, they're asking for donations of $10 a month or $120 per year. So if you'd like to help either their ministry in Claiborne County or the ministry in West Virginia, you may send donations to Hands of Hope, 411 Jackson Street in Port Gibson, and the zip is 39150. So let's keep the folks at our local team in prayer, and also the folks in McDowell County, West Virginia, as they seek to do the Lord's will and help those who are in need. Let us now continue our worship as we take up our hymnals, or we turn in our online order of service to hymn 319, Trust in the Lord with All Your Heart. And that's what we need to do today and every day. We'll sing all three stanzas of 319, and let us stand to sing. be seated. And isn't that a beautiful promise that we can trust in the Lord no matter what is going on in our lives, and we can know that He will hear us. He will answer our prayers that are in accordance with His will. What confidence we can have as children of God as we then go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our loving God, our faithful God, You have provided for us so richly. Lord, even when we turn away from You, You continue to love us unconditionally so that we can trust in You. Whatever our lot, it doesn't matter. Nothing can trouble us in Your presence. Lord, we thank You that even when we're going our own way, You reach out to us. In Your sovereign grace, You draw Your children unto Yourself, and You allow us, Lord, to trust in You. We thank You. But we confess, O Lord, that we need You to love us this way, because all too often we are unlovely. We know what Your law says. We know You want us to love everyone, but we're so hesitant to do that. Lord, we bestow our love on those whom we consider safe, or those whom we consider beautiful, or those whom we think will give us something in return. Or worse yet, we withhold our love from one another altogether. We cling to grudges. We push other people away. And when we do that, Lord, we're really withholding our love from You. We're saying that Your commandments don't matter very much to us. But Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You love us in spite of our sin. We thank You that You love us in spite of our turning away from You. And we thank You that You proved Your love for us in that Christ came to die while we were yet sinners. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your love. And thank You, O Lord, for the love that You give to all those who trust in Christ. And today, we give You special thanks for that love that You give to all mothers. Mothers who demonstrate that same kind of unconditional love to us and who teach us to love one another. And so, Lord, we want to pray on this Mother's Day. We want to pray for all those women that You have called into this special ministry of motherhood. Lord, we want to pray for our young mothers with little ones who are exhausted with the constant care and needs. And now, O Lord, for all the mothers of school-aged children, many of whom have had to shoulder the burden of working from home as well as supervising their children's education. They have been doing double duty for the last 2 months. And Lord, we pray that You would bless them. Father, we pray for those whose children have grown up and moved away, for those whom we call empty nesters. Lord, we pray as they struggle with homes that have become still and quiet, too still, too quiet, and they miss their children. Lord, we pray for those mothers who wrestle with that delicate balance between offering advice to their grown-up children, but also letting them live their lives and make their own choices and biting their tongue and not saying, "I told you so." Help them, Lord. Lord, we pray for mothers who have gotten to the point where they have to adjust to their children taking care of them. Roles may be reversed, but love never fails. Help them, Lord, to receive the same sort of love that they gave for so many years. Help them to receive that love with grace. And Lord, on this day, we pray for those who are grieving the loss of their mothers and grandmothers. Bless them, Lord. Bless us. And Father, we pray for those who have never had the opportunity to be mothers and fathers, for whom this day can be very painful. Bless them, Lord, as they minister to others' children. And we pray, our Father, that as we have seen so many women demonstrate this kind of love to us. We simply pray that you would give us a love like that. That unconditional love, that unconditional longing to make things better for others, to make things comfortable for others, to bring happiness into the home, to bring fairness where there is injustice. Give us that kind of love. And we pray, O Lord, that you would give us that kind of love, not just for our children, not just for our grandchildren, not just for our immediate family, not just for our friends and neighbors, but Lord, give us that kind of love for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever they may be, whatever challenges they may face. Lord, we would go further. We would pray that you would give us that kind of love, that unconditional, self-sacrificial love for the lost. For that's the kind of love that you have for sinners. Give us that kind of love for a lost world that needs Christ so desperately, even as it pushes him and sometimes pushes us away when we try to tell them about him. Lord, fill us with the love of Christ. A love that will spill over onto all whom we will see this week. And we offer this prayer in his name and for his sake. Amen. On this Mother's Day, we turn to Psalm 139. You find it in your online order of service, and you can also find it in your King James Bible or any other translation if you'd like to read along. Psalm 139 is a psalm of David, and I think we'll find it gives us a lot to meditate on this day. We'll read all of Psalm 139, and this is the word of the Lord. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thus far, God's word. May he add his blessing to us as we meditate upon it today. Well, on this Mother's Day, we celebrate those wonderful women who gave us birth and who cared for us
when we were the most helpless. Today we thank them for always seeming to know what we were doing, especially when we were trying to get away with something. Today we honor them for always being ready to swoop in and provide either protection or correction, and sometimes a bit of both. Today we celebrate a mother's selfless, unconditional love, even as we are grateful that it was extended to those of us who certainly did not deserve it. But as we recognize and as we honor the selfless love, the ever-present protection, and the ready justice of our mothers and our fathers too, we should also remember that there is someone even more loving, someone even more protecting, someone even more knowing, someone even more just. We should remember that there is someone of whom our parents are at their best but a shadow. Someone to whom the best of our parents point the way by both their exhortation and their example. For after all, the reason that we honor these good traits in our mothers and fathers is because they find their origin in the God who is good. In short, our parents are most effective when they model the attributes of God for us. And this is true even from the very beginning of our lives, as Psalm 139 reminds us. For while verse 13 acknowledges that our mothers were the ones who gave us birth, it reminds us that God was the one who covered us, who wove us together, who designed our every distinguishing characteristic while we were still in the womb. God's the one who decided how our DNA would be written. Now, to be sure, there is something sublime in a mother's unconditional love, bestowed without question on her children, regardless of their defects. Sometimes, in jest, we speak of someone having a face that only their mother could love. We thus acknowledge, we celebrate a mother's unquestioning devotion, even to those whom the rest of society might find a little off-putting or even repugnant. But how much greater should our wonder be in the presence of a God whose love could design such a face? A God whose love could give birth even to those people whom we find most difficult to love. A God who would let those people be the bearers of his image, his holy and perfect image. Yes, our mothers have loved us just the way that we are, but God is the one who loved us enough to design us the way we are. God composed each one of us, writing our DNA as a unique masterpiece. God designed all of us, intended all of us to be an expression of his nature to the world that he created. But of course, none of us really fulfills God's purpose, do we? And the best of our mothers know that better than anyone. For if they love us unconditionally, they also know us very well. They see not only our potential, but also they see the many times that we fail to live up to it. They love us, yes, they love us. But most of the time, they love us with clear-seeing eyes. And God loves us in the same way, with even clearer sight. For let's face it, children in their cleverness do occasionally manage to pull a fast one, even on the most vigilant parents. I know I did. My brother and I would get into tussles, and we would get into arguments. And of course, when we did that, we got loud. And Mama didn't like things to be loud in the house. And so she would say, "Go to your separate rooms." Whenever we'd get in trouble, "Go to your separate rooms." For my brother, that was torture, because he always wanted to be outside running around doing something. For me, oh, I would complain, I would whine, I would cry, and I would go into my room, and I would get out a book and be perfectly content. And of course, I never told Mama that until years later. So yes,
It is easy sometimes for mothers sometimes to miss that. It's easy also sometimes for mothers their love to slip into overindulgence. Sometimes they allow us to get away with things for which we really should have been punished. But God makes no such mistakes. In verse 12, David reminds us that it is impossible for us to hide anything from God. Even the darkest night is as bright as day to God. There's no point in trying to pull a fast one on God. We can't conceal any of our sins from Him because He's always watching us. And part of the reason that God is always watching us is that God is everywhere. Yes, everywhere. I know some guys like to head out to the deer camp or to the golf course to get away from it all, but God is there. Families may go on vacations to Canada or Europe, but David reminds us that God is there too, even in the farthest oceans. David says God's in the highest heaven. He says that God is in the deepest hell, which is perhaps better translated the place of the dead. Simply put, there is no place that is out of God's sight. There is no place that is beyond God's reach. So yes, God sees us all the time. Yes, God is everywhere we are, but He also knows us. He knows us inside and out. As our designer, as our composer, as our author, His knowledge of our nature, His knowledge of our character is complete. But verses 1 through 4 remind us that God also knows everything we do. He knows everywhere we go. He knows our thoughts even before we speak them. He knows our words, even the ones we hold back. As verse 3 says, God is acquainted with all our ways. But God isn't just with us all the time. He's not just seeing and knowing everything we do. No, this psalm tells us that God is sovereign over us. God is in control of all of the circumstances of our lives. Verse 5 says that God has beset us behind and before. He's hemmed us in. He has enclosed us on every side. In verse 10, we learn that God isn't just with us everywhere. He takes hold of us. He leads us wherever we are. And perhaps most amazingly, verse 16 says that God wrote down everything about us before we were even born, even to the exact number of days that we will live. That is knowledge. That is sovereign power. So how do we respond to a God like this? How do we respond to this God that David has described for us, and frankly, a God that is described in the same way throughout all of the scriptures? Does this God seem to be intrusive, perhaps smothering, or does He make you feel warm and safe? Do you resent the notion that somebody else controls so much of who you are and what you do, or do you rejoice that God is the one who is in charge of your life? Does God's omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, sovereignty, does that feel threatening? Or is it comforting? How do you feel about the God that David describes in this psalm? Well, to someone still living in rebellion against this God, this psalm is probably not very good news. Because by definition, that kind of person doesn't want God to stop him from doing his own thing. At the core of her being is distrust of God, is fear of God, because she expects only punishment from God. To him, it's oppressive that God is always watching, that God knows everything. To the sinner, This psalm is very bad news. He doesn't want God to be everywhere. She wants God to go away. Now, what about for a Christian? He's already admitted to himself, to the world, to God, that he's done all sorts of wrong things. She isn't trying to hide anything, especially from God. Instead, he readily confesses his sins. He's willing to admit that his ways might be very wicked indeed, as David does at the end of this psalm in verse 24. And how can Christians do that so freely? Because we know the self-sacrificial character of God. Because we know the unconditional love of God. And this isn't just hypothetical to us. We have seen the cross of Christ. We know that we have no reason to fear God. We know that we have every reason to trust God because we've seen the cross of Christ. It is because of a Christian's close relationship to Christ that this psalm can be very good news for us. And this is why, instead of being confused, instead of being threatened by the notion of God's sovereign omnipresence, David simply says in verse 6 that this knowledge is too wonderful, too high for him. He doesn't understand it. But he's happy to rest in the certainty. He's happy to rest in the knowledge that God is all-powerful because he is confident that God will use that power for his good, to bless him. And instead of feeling smothered by our Creator's complete and intimate knowledge of us, in verse 14, David gives God thanks. He gives God praise. Instead of being dissatisfied with his own talents or his own appearance, David marvels that he has been fearfully and wonderfully made. He acknowledges God's right to bestow God's gifts as God chooses. And he gives thanks. Instead of trying to have it his own way, instead of trying to make his own rules, in verse 17, David says that it is God's word that is most precious to him. Instead of trying to figure out everything for himself, instead of insisting that he understand everything, David is content to dive into the vast deeps of the Scripture, to discover more and more about the God who made him and the God who loves him so much. In short, in all these ways, David gives us a good example of how we should respond to the fact that our God is all-seeing, and our God is all-knowing, and our God is the creator of all things, and our God is present everywhere, and our God controls all the circumstances of his creation. And that response, in a word, is humility. Humility. Isn't that amazing? In this psalm, David sees himself not as a mighty, powerful king, but as a helpless, needy child of God. David thus humbly admits his need for forgiveness. He admits his need for guidance. He admits his need for learning. And we would all do well to follow his example of humility. His example of simply resting in who God is, especially when the circumstances of our lives do not make sense. And perhaps we'd like to stop there. But even after we have truly humbled ourselves before our omniscient, omnipresent, sovereign God, this psalm raises another issue. Another problem for us, a problem that comes not from denying or rejecting God's sovereignty, a problem that comes because we've accepted it. For in verses 19 through 22, David begins to wonder aloud. If God sees everything, if God knows everything, if God is everywhere, if God controls all the circumstances of all our lives, why doesn't he punish the wicked? Why doesn't he exercise his judgment? Why doesn't he destroy all his enemies? Maybe you've wondered about that yourself. You who believe in the sovereignty of God. Maybe as you see our culture slip further and further away from God. Maybe as you see senseless violence filling our streets. Maybe as you see hateful lies fill our news feeds. Maybe as you see evil being called good and good being called evil. Maybe you're like David. Maybe you wish those wicked people would just depart. Just go away. Just quit messing everything else up. For everybody. The people of Jesus' day would certainly have shared a longing like that. We think we got it tough. They wanted God to bring justice on the wicked Romans who were causing them so much trouble and so much grief. We complain about our leaders, but at least we get to elect them. Theirs just invaded. And they were looking. They were looking for a Messiah who would come and do to the Romans exactly what David was asking God to do in verse 19, to slay the wicked. That's what they wanted. And sometimes that's what we want. But we know that God had a better plan for Jesus. God had a bigger plan for Jesus. For God sent Jesus not to drive out the Romans so that Jesus could rule over the nation of Israel the way that David had. No. God sent Jesus to die at the hands of those Romans so that the sins of people from all over the world might be forgiven, even the sins of those Romans, even the sins of those who nailed him to the cross. God sent Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice for us so that the whole world might come to know him the way David describes him in Psalm 139. So that the world would understand that he is not a bloodthirsty, cruel tyrant. He's not an oppressor. He's not a smotherer. He's not someone who's just trying to keep us from having any fun or enjoying life. Jesus came to show us that we can trust God as a loving heavenly Father who sees all things and knows all things and does whatever we need for our good. Yes, God is everywhere. Yes, God is in control. Yes, God is perfectly just and righteous. But the way that God chooses to exercise his sovereignty, the way that God chooses to exercise his power, the way that God chooses to administer his justice, well, as David says, this is high. We cannot attain to it. It's simply beyond us. Sometimes God uses the overweening ambition of tyrants to bring them to a swift end. That's what happened with Napoleon. That's what happened with Hitler. But sometimes God allows tyrannies to continue for generations, as he did with the Soviet Union. And the people now living under the oppression of communist China or Islamic Iran are still wondering how long they are going to have to suffer. And we don't know. We don't know. And so David ends this psalm the same way that he began it, with humility. He's not insisting that God answer all his questions. He's not insisting that God exercise God's judgment in the way and according to the timetable that David understood. No, David simply asks that God would use his all-seeing, all-knowing power to look inside David's heart and take away anything bad, take away anything hurtful, take away anything that is separating David from God. No, at the end of this psalm, David still doesn't know how all God's plans work. But in the face of his ignorance, he simply asks God to give him more faith, to give him more trust. And on this Mother's Day, in the midst of this COVID crisis, God is calling all of us to do the same thing. Not to understand everything, but to trust God even more than we trust our mamas and daddies. To trust God to lead us, to trust God to guide us, to trust God to protect us, to trust God to correct us, to trust God to teach us the truth, to trust God to bring justice to the world in His way, in His time. For if there's one thing we can learn from this psalm, if there's one thing we can learn from the cross of Jesus Christ, it is that God loves us. God is always with us, and God will lead us wherever it is best for us to go. Let us pray. Lord, we don't understand everything about your word. We don't understand everything about your will. We certainly don't understand everything about the cross of Christ. We sure don't understand why Jesus would lay down his life for sinners like us. But we thank you, Lord, for his unconditional, self-sacrificial love. And we thank you for that, the example of that kind of love that we see in our mamas and daddies. Help us, Lord, to love like that, even when we don't understand what's going on in the world around us. Help us, Lord, to trust you, to rest in you, to rest in the certainty that you are with us, and that you see us, and that you know us, and that you're in control. Lead us and guide us, for we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's continue that prayer as we take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 448, selection 448. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. We'll sing all three stanzas. You find the words also in your online order of service. Let us stand to sing. May that be our prayer this week, that God would guide us, even today, even here, even now. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.